Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, helping to create a storehouse of possibilities and products from a single seed. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's June 23rd, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, Japanese beef inspectors will be in country this weekend. There might be a new U.S. proposal to the WTO. And on Capitol Hill, there is a newly drafted compromise on the estate tax. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then I'll update you on what some ag engineering students and John Deere have been up to here on campus and tell you just a little bit about this summer's 50th consecutive Agronomy Day. It all happens on this Friday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The wheat contract, July contract at 363 and a quarter, down 2 1/4. Soft red winter wheat, September's at 381 and a half. They were off 0.75 cents today. July wheat in Kansas City, $4.80, off 0.75 cents. July corn futures, 228 and a quarter, down 2 1/4. September futures at 239 and 3/4. They finished 2 lower. And the December contract at 255 and a quarter, down 1 3/4. March corn, 267 and a quarter, down 1 3/4. July soybean futures now, 580 and a half. The settlement price there down 2.5 cents. The August futures at 586 and a half were down 3. And September's 593 and 1/2. They finished 1 1/2 lower. November soybeans, 606 and a half, down 2 1/4 for the harvest month. Bean meal futures, July contract, $176.50, unchanged on the day. July bean oil at 24.62. They finished 13 higher. From the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle at 115.15, up 30 cents. June live cattle at 82.87 and a half, were up 25, and July lean hogs at $73.22 and a half, were down $1.65 for the day. From the outside markets, crude oil at $70.90 a barrel, currently trading 6 cents a barrel higher. The dollar at 86.83 at this hour, up 0.41, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,008. It's down 10 at the hour. Crude oil futures July contract 585.70, and they're up $2.60 a barrel.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
USDA releasing its June cattle on feed report at 2 o'clock this afternoon. The numbers looking like this. On feed as of June the 1st, 104%, placed at 86%. And marketed at 109. The marketed, of course, up on the top end of the range, the 86, below the bottom end of the range on the trade at 88.7. Joining us now to take a complete look at those numbers and what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange for the day is Mike Zuzolo, Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Thanks for being with us, Mike. Kind of an interesting day at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, but let's start with the cattle on feed numbers. Tell me what you saw there this afternoon and how that is expected to play out, please.
At face value, you'd have to go, that kind of mindset, because you've been below the weekly chart, 200-week moving average, for about 10 weeks, and you're right on that moving average coming into this week's close. So it's taking the face value, you would have to say we're going to have to test those resistance levels because we have been, really beating the cattle up pretty nicely here the last few weeks and in the last for that matter.
And then if you had to make a guess on what will happen on Monday morning, how much to an upside are we talking about?
It wouldn't be hard to see the August cattle jump up, 50 to 75 cents because they've got a contract high, at least on our charts, we're looking at around 86.75. You're trading about $2 underneath that almost exactly with today's close in the August fats, Todd. So at this point, it would be easy for us to see the $75 or dollar higher opening just to get people revved up. You know, it goes back to, we talked to some cattle traders, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, it was Thursday afternoon. We talked to them after the close, and they're ahead of the curve a little bit right now. They knew the market was headed lower on a lot of increases in the feedlots. They've you know, covered their shorts nicely in the early part of May, and they put some premium back into this market. Probably the most interesting market to watch on Monday will be December futures, because with placements at 86%, you can start to pencil in and say, okay, now we've got a potential hole in marketings come Thanksgiving, Christmas time, or that December contract. Will they use that as an anchor to bull spread against some other contract months? Because it does have quite a discount in it.
And that might be fairly interesting to watch, because we know this week, in fact, that the Japanese inspectors will be in at some of the USDA plants. And if they do open up, I would think things would start to really ramp up later in the fall, and that December might be one of those areas that beef starts moving into Japan.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because the whole point in us calling the meat desk on yesterday was to get an idea of what their take was of this Japanese news now that it's been out a few days. And they were still kind of ho-hum about it, because they just didn't believe at that point that we were going to really move that much meat, because the restrictions were going to be so great. So it was a typical mindset, well, that's nice, but let's see what we do with it. So now maybe with this report, they'll say, well, let's put a little more risk premium in case all this comes together.
And then if you turn your attention to the corn market for me, tell me what happened there for the day.
Pretty lackluster. You know, you could knit a sweater watching the corn market today, and that's kind of how we like it going into these big reports next week. It was a good week for exports. Year commitments are up 19.5% in corn. Export sales this week, 36% over the four-week average. That's a big number given how big we've been seeing these exports each week. We had another Japanese sale of 13.7 million bushels this morning, before the opening, a third of that due before the end of this marketing year. So we had a lot gone for us. We couldn't generate anything on that good export news, though. We had the wheat. It was lackluster. The weather was put as benign. Gold and crude markets were a little bit scared of the dollar because of this interest rate meeting coming up, the Federal Reserve meeting next week, and the spreads. You tried to see them get together and get a little bull spreading action going in the corn, but you ended up just falling apart during midday. So you just couldn't get anything generated. Didn't surprise us. We were expecting pretty much a lackluster day today unless we turned really, really hot on these afternoon models, which we did not.
And it looks like next week the rainfall should come across a good portion of the Midwest, and the weather is not going to play much of a direction, I suppose, next week as we head into the June 30 on Friday acreage reports. You expect next week's trade to be pretty quiet, or will it try to test and make new recent lows?
It'll be pretty active either way. It very well could go each way, lower during the first part of the week and then higher during the later part of the week. There was a good Newswire story on Reuters, I believe it was, earlier today about the commodities, you know, like oil and copper, really waiting for a Federal Reserve meeting. And really what these guys are probably looking at, and we think this means a lot in the grains as well, the Fed rhetoric will be just as important as what they actually do, Todd, we think, because we'll get that June increase, we think. The market's already priced that in. And so we'll see if they come out and say something in their notes like, well, inflation and recession risks are equally balanced. You know, that would be a nice thing to hear for a commodity trader. Or you hear something like, before making future moves, you know, by the Federal Reserve, we'll take on a wait-and-see attitude. Those would be something to be watching for in their terminology, because it'd be healthy for commodity markets, we think, because it would increase the risk appetite. That's where everybody on the sidelines here this last month, ever since the last federal rate hike and all these, you know, things the Federal Reserve Bank governors have been spouting off about, taking a lot of risk out of the market and a lot of the volatility out of the market. So that's going to be the 28th and 29th. So relatively early in the week, we'll start to get that probably factored into the grain market ahead of the acreage and stocks report.
So if it comes out and it's an equal basis, that's one thing. But what if they come out and they simply say, we think we've done the job and we're going to we're going to drop the interest rates back down, or we think that we might see a time in the next couple of months where we begin to drop them back? Or on the opposite hand, if they say, well, we haven't put the brakes on quite enough just yet, and we need to continue this quarter cent hikes.
Most of us in the commodity industry, I think it'd be safe to say, that follow that would say, we do not want them to say inflation is still a greater risk than slowing the economy, because that would mean their August meeting, they're probably going to hit us another 25 basis points. I think that's where you go back to what the dollar and the bonds trade, because the dollar is going to probably set off a chain reaction in both the crude and the gold. If the dollar breaks higher and then the crude and gold break lower, then you're dealing with a situation that's going to be very hard fought. These outside markets are going to be very hard fought to get a rally in grains, especially if you don't have weather come in and change some of the microeconomic issues. So, and we're talking specifically futures markets here. I've been on the phone all week. Chuck's been on the phone. Sherman, Bill, everybody's been on the phone all week talking to our clients saying, let's be patient. Don't sell any more cash corn here because we think it's low enough. So we're talking strictly futures market in terms of being able to get a rally. We think we can get a cash-led rally here after the report because we factored a lot of negativity in, but we do want that Federal Reserve to be on our side.
On the soybean side of this ledger?
Not a lot going on there. We're going to keep our view that we've had no changes. Let's do paper hedging with known cost bought puts. The November bean chart looks a lot like August gold right now, with the price bars looking similar and there's a gap above the market. Like we said to Dave this morning, if we do see a wheat-led and a corn-led retracement rally bump back up after these reports come out, why wouldn't beans play along for the ride given the time of year? So we want to do everything on paper right now. We did close below the 200-day moving average in November beans today, and that was something we'll have to watch real closely.
Tell me a little bit about this wheat market, in fact. We had a bit of a rally in Chicago this week. Not a lot, but it was up 4.75 cents. Is that all simply on what's been happening in the northern part of the region with the spring wheat and the ideas that they were a little drier than they have been and should have been, and their numbers aren't looking quite as good as in those weekly crop progress reports?
Yeah, we think part of it was. We think the other part goes back to Monday's report, and it showed how fast we were making progress in the HRW states. When the faster you get through it, obviously the market's going to believe that's the less yield you're going to have out there, the quicker you get done. But it seemed like we really stalled out, and we would blame the stall out due to a lack of confidence by the Chicago traders. And also because the harvest weather did slow down the progress of harvest. We got some rain in the southern plains, and we just kind of lost momentum, and then that harvest pressure psychology came back up again. But, you know, if we take a longer-term view of it, I guess we're in the mindset that September wheat in Chicago needs to be about 25 cents more premium than it is right now, that a $4 September wheat price between now and contract expiration would make sense, because the last USDA crop report here earlier this month, we saw a huge decrease in percentage terms of our U.S. carryover, and that really has not been factored in at all because we've been in the midst of harvest.
Anything else to add for the day?
That'll be it. You have a great weekend, sir.
You too, Mike. Mike Zuzlo with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Friday afternoon.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Well, at the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Our own Ed Kieser says tonight in northern and central Illinois and in northwestern parts of Indiana, skies will clear. Elsewhere, it'll be mostly cloudy. A few scattered showers early, then some gradual clearing overnight. Lows will range this evening from 53 in the north to 65 in the far south. Tomorrow in northwestern Illinois, partly sunny, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. They'll be possible during the afternoon. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs will range from 70 near Lake Michigan to 85 in the far southern parts of Illinois. Wind speeds tomorrow, 6 to 12 miles an hour. The minimum afternoon relative humidity ranging between 35 and 50%. Extended forecast across the two states. Scattered showers, a few thunderstorms may develop in northwestern Illinois on Saturday afternoon and evening. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment to take a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Japanese inspectors arrive at U.S. beef plants this weekend to begin examining plants that the U.S. say are authorized to export beef to Japan. The inspections should be done by July 21st. U.S. beef industry officials are concerned that Japan may approve some plants for export and reject others. There is also disagreement between the U.S. and Japan over future violations. The U.S. wants Japan to restrict shipments only from violating companies. Japan is keeping its option open for a full nationwide ban. A report from Inside U.S. Trade says President Bush, Trade Representative Susan Schwab, and other cabinet-level officials last week agreed on a new U.S. proposal that would ask developed countries to lower their tariffs by a minimum average of 54% in the Doha round. The current U.S. demand is 66%. USDA Agriculture Secretary Mike Johanns denied the offer had been made, but Thursday National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley dodged the question of whether the U.S. made an offer to lower tariffs. And Deputy Trade Rep Peter Allgeier says if talks in Geneva next week break down, it won't be because of U.S. negotiators.
I'm not very good at handicapping sports events. I mean, I had predicted that the United States would win the World Cup. And I don't want to prejudice anybody's attitude about going into that by trying to put some sort of a probability on it. All I can say is that from the standpoint of the United States, we are going to be putting 100% and 100% plus effort into making next week a success.
Both Johanns and Schwab will be in Geneva next week. Senior World Trade Organization officials unveiled drafts Thursday for liberalizing trade in farm and manufactured goods in the Doha round. The drafts underscored just how much work remains to salvage a global trade deal by the end of the year. The drafts indicate that member nations are far from consensus on precise formulas for cutting tariffs and slashing subsidies. The U.S. House of Representatives approved a compromise estate tax relief bill Thursday, crafted by the House GOP, to overcome opposition in the Senate to a permanent repeal of the tax. The bill excludes $5 million per person and $10 million per couple from the estate tax beginning in 2010. The compromise bridges the gap between those who want permanent repeal and those who want the tax to return to its 2001 rate. Indiana Republican Mike Pence says while any tax on death is immoral, the bill does take uncertainty out of tax rates.
The estate tax relief provided in previous legislation is scheduled to end in 2010. And what we will pass today will literally bring permanent estate tax relief to millions of American families, especially increasing the exemption to $5 million per person effective January 1, 2010.
Congressional tax experts say only 5,100 estates would face taxation when the bill goes into effect. The IRS levied taxes on more than 30,000 estates in 2004. And the U.S. government proposed new rules Thursday that would require factory-style farms to obtain permits and set conditions when polluting rivers, streams, and lakes with animal waste. The rule also would allow the farm businesses to define what constitutes pollution, and it would exempt them from needing a permit if they discharge only agricultural stormwater. The proposed rule from the EPA would also require owners and operators to apply for a permit before polluting and to attach a nutrient management plan. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That program, by the way, airs tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. Central Time, right here on AM 580. Our guest, Lawrence Cain. Well, up next, school's out and summer's arrived. I'll update you on some student work that's just wrapped up here at the University of Illinois Ag Engineering Campus and on the golden anniversary of Agronomy Day. It's the 50th Agronomy Day at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Thursday, August the 17th has been set as the date for Agronomy Day 2006 at the Crop Sciences Research and Education Center on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. That's otherwise known simply as the South Farms. It will be the 50th consecutive Agronomy Day and is a partnership among several academic units in the U of I's College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, also known as the College of ACES. Agronomy Day provides faculty with a chance to discuss their latest research findings with clients from Illinois and neighboring states, says Pat Tranel. He's a weed scientist at the U of I and chairs this year's event. Tour topics will cover research on invasive insects and weeds, nitrogen management, soybean rust, disease management, experimental technologies, and corn and soybean rotation considerations. Agronomy Day will begin at 7 a.m. Thursday, August the 17th. Our long wagon tours around the research plots will repeat every half hour or as groups are available. The tours are free and open to the public. Lunch is available for a nominal fee. Well, some U of I seniors have engineered a new corn head, and it could capture more yield. Farmers could one day see an increase in yield in their corn crops thanks to the work of some undergraduate engineering students at the University of Illinois. To reduce the row spacing on John Deere corn heads, a team of students reduced the size of the slip clutches installed on every row. And with a clutch of shorter dimension, the number of rows per head could be increased, and that could in turn increase yield. This was only one of five projects that were part of the Capstone Senior Design Class in the Agricultural and Biological Engineering School at the U of I. In this innovative class, student teams meet with industry representatives who present them with a design problem that their companies would like to resolve. Students choose their projects and begin a semester-long relationship with their industry partner. They are accountable to their representatives through weekly reports, monthly reviews, and a final written and oral presentation, usually on site. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Information Advantage, WILL Urbana. We're joined on this Friday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market by Bruce Bostard. He's at the Ludlow Co-op there in Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Hey, you know, I do have a question for you. Are you in Ludlow or in Paxton?
I'm in Ludlow.
Okay. I thought you were, but once in a while I see that you – oh, actually, you always give us the numbers
from
Paxton.
I usually give the Paxton bids, yeah.
I wanted to make sure that I actually had it right. So you are in Ludlow. I was fairly certain that was the case. How are farmers feeling about the markets at this point?
Oh, kind of a mixed bag. I think we're happy to see a few rains come through, although they've been real spotty. I think they would have liked it if we hadn't seen the futures sell off kind of in conjunction with that.
That probably goes without saying. Are they still hopeful that the markets will rally between now and harvest?
I think so. Cash movement has been very muted. I think the kind of the general attitude is that we haven't totally exhausted our things can go wrong with the crop checklist here that we kind of trade through the course of the year. And they have been, though, you know, pretty good aggressive scale-up type sellers for the last 6 months. So on pops, as we each time we hit new high ground, we saw sales going into it. And I'd say we probably have a higher percentage of new crop corn bought for this time of the year than normal. So that kind of mutes the reaction to, you know, the downward swing that we've had. Not as many people are having to pay catch-up on their sales.
I know you're still fairly new in the Ludlow Co-op. Do you have an idea at this point of how much old crop that you might have yet to come into the elevator?
There is still a fairly good percentage of old crop to go, not huge. My impression is that most people have a few beans. They were kind of holding back for just-in-case beans for the summer, waiting to see what happened. You know, they do have sales on, and it's, Mike, maybe, what, 10 to 20% left?
Yeah, my Vegas beans. I got that one. Okay.
Yep, the Vegas beans. Corn, same way. They've been scale-up sellers into it. A lot of it has moved, but there's still a few Vegas corn, some Vegas corn out there, too.
Okay. And then your bids for the day are?
We are at 214 on corn at Paxton and 562 on soybeans.
Thanks much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois, where he acts as the manager. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez says the men accused of plotting to blow up the Sears Tower in Chicago are homegrown terrorists who viewed their home country as the enemy. Six of the men were arrested at an FBI raid in Miami yesterday, and the seventh was picked up in Atlanta. Gonzalez says the men sought to work with al-Qaeda, but ended up consorting instead with a law enforcement informant. Indiana state employees are getting filters installed in their computers to limit their internet access. State officials are adding the filters after several employees were fired and others were disciplined for viewing child pornography on their work computers. A state workers' association says it supports the move. Champaign County is now taking applications to fill seats in the board of a new mass transit district for Southwest Champaign. County Board Chair Barb Wasaki says the board will have 3 to 5 members. Voters approved the new district in a referendum last spring to fight back attempts at annexation from the Champaign-Urbana MTD. The CU MTD went ahead with an annexation anyway, and a dispute between the two districts over territory is headed to court. At a Chicago fundraiser today, Vice President Dick Cheney promoted the Bush administration's economic policies and called for continued resolve in the war in Iraq and against terrorists. Cheney spoke to about 300 people at a fundraiser for David McSweeney, the Republican challenger to Congresswoman Melissa Bean. 25 area restaurants will be serving food at this weekend's Taste of Champaign-Urbana at Westside Park in Champaign. 50 craft vendors and several live bands will also be featured at the event, which opens at 5 today and runs through Sunday. But for the first time, dogs will not be allowed at the Taste. A new ordinance bans pets after complaints during the last two festivals. Regulators in Europe have given a thumbs up to Continental AG's purchase of Motorola's auto electronics business. The sell-off allows Schaumburg-based Motorola to focus on communications technology. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Friday afternoon is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How's the weekend shaping up?
Weekend is shaping up to be really nice. We've had sort of a Jekyll and Hyde situation this week with some cool weather at the start and some very hot and humid weather, and then the storms throughout the state yesterday, except for here. We're getting drier air moving into the state right now. Dew points up in northern Illinois are in the mid-40s to low-50s. Down in this neck of the woods and further south are in the low to upper 60s. So that dryer will be working its way south rest of the afternoon and tonight, and we're looking for temperatures to be a couple of degrees below normal over the weekend, and with generally sunny skies, although we could see some rain popping up on Sunday.
Ooh, sounds like magnificent baseball weather, actually. It should be a good weekend to be out and about then. Tell me about precipitation over the last week in the Midwest. Who's caught up, who's behind at this point, and what the forecast over the next week might look like?
Okay, well, it's sort of a bizarre pattern if you look at the precip map for the last week. The areas that really benefited almost to the almost to excess were mostly all the way from western Kentucky up through most of Indiana, except for the northwest corner, and much of Ohio. Ohio was a problem because they had a lot of flooding rains up in the northern area of the state, but that area is generally above normal for precipitation this past week. And also another area that got some good rainfall is from northern Missouri through southeastern Iowa and into northwestern Illinois. Some heavy rains fell there. The areas of big hurt right now in terms of dryness are western Minnesota, although they should improve on that today, north central Wisconsin, and then here in central Illinois, there's a fairly large area that did not get much rain. It was very hit and miss. And central Illinois right now, from roughly here, Decatur, on northward to Peoria, that area is fairly dry now for June, and hopefully we'll get some rain this Sunday that might help that a bit.
Anything that we need to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, it looks like maybe another chance of rain on Wednesday, so we're not totally at a loss yet.
We appreciate you being with us.
Okay.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center here in Champaign County at the Illinois State Water Survey. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 11:30 for Commodity Week. We'll be joined by guest Lawrence Kane. It's our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture. You have a good weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.